Sharia law, it's been more and more in the headlines over the past few months, but particularly over the past week or so in the wake of those anti-terror raids in Sydney and Brisbane. Palmer United Party Senator Jackie Lambie this week giving this definition of Sharia law.
Well, I think when it comes to Sharia law, you know, to me it obviously involves terrorism. It involves a power that is not a healthy power.
In what way?
That's Senator Lambie, Jackie Lambie, speaking on ABC's Insiders on Sunday. Yesterday in the Senate, Senator Lambie continued her attack on supporters of Sharia law, telling the Parliament they are, quote, maniacs and depraved humans who will not stop committing cold-blooded butchery and rapes until every woman in Australia wears a burqa. She received some criticism for those comments from inside and outside the political establishment, but when challenged, she's asked people to read the text themselves. So we thought we should try and have a go at that. We've turned to an expert to help us. Dr. Christopher van der Krot is a lecturer in religious studies at Massey University in New Zealand, also an expert in religious law, including Sharia law. He joins us from Wellington this morning. Dr. van der Krot, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Christopher, in the simplest terms, can you have a go at it? What is Sharia law?
It's Islamic law. It's the Islamic way of life as revealed by God, mostly through the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay, and a lot of us, I think, understand that Sharia law is, that law is used as a guide to the way of life for Muslim people, for the way people dress, but the way they behave as well. Is that right?
That's right. Yes, that's right. So to reduce Sharia law to a couple of acts of terrorism is a bit like reducing the whole of Western law to, say, execution of murderers in the United States.
Okay, but is it violent? Is there a violent message in Sharia law? Something that's often brought up is the Sharia law as it covers people who steal, that they can have their left hand chopped off, for instance. I mean, is there a violence inherent in Sharia?
There is a violence inherent, yes, in punishments for certain crimes, including theft, yes. So that would be the punishment for a serious case of theft, yes. Which doesn't mean to say that every time somebody steals something, a petty thief is not necessarily going to get his hand chopped off.
Well, in fact, does that happen much in a place like New Zealand or Australia?
No, not at all. Not at all in New Zealand or Australia, because such laws are not enforced in New Zealand and Australia.
So it would happen perhaps in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan?
Yes, it could happen there, yes.
So how do people of Islam live within Sharia law in a country like Australia? How do they sort out which bits they honour or practice and which bits they don't?
So as Muslims living in Australia, they don't have any jurisdiction. They have a religion which is a way of life, like any other religion. So they don't steal, they don't drink, they don't commit adultery. You know, they have all these rules and expectations about how they should live.
A bit like the Ten Commandments?
Yes, yes.
Is there much similarity, in fact, with the commandments? Perhaps we could talk of it in those terms.
Well, the basic moral principles are the same. You worship one God and you live a moral life. Yeah, very similar.
And what about other elements of Sharia law that cover not just those things about living a moral life, but things like commercial law, contract law, finance and banking is affected by Sharia law, isn't it?
Sharia has a lot to say on those things. It's a complex and detailed area of law. Perhaps the most obvious and important provision in Islamic law in those areas is the prohibition of usury. You're not allowed to charge interest on a loan.
And again, most Muslim people practicing Sharia law or living by Sharia law in Australia and New Zealand, would they practice by that?
This creates difficulties because it's quite hard to live in a modern Western society without being involved somewhere in taking interest or in paying interest for that matter. So, you know, there are issues around whether you borrow money from a bank to buy a house.
So more broadly, and getting back to those comments we heard earlier from Senator Jackie Lambie, who said that Sharia law obviously involves terrorism, does it? And if it does, how is it used to justify jihad?
Okay, it doesn't obviously involve terrorism, but jihad, as traditionally understood, particularly in early Islam, was warfare to create and maintain an Islamic state. And some Muslims today still see that as an obligation. Other Muslims argue that jihad in the military sense is only defensive. In terms of terrorism, I guess terrorism is one of the ways in which warfare can be conducted today, particularly by a weak group facing a stronger group. And so terrorism is very modern in the sense that we understand it now. You know, random acts of violence against civilians in order to coerce rulers into complying with whatever your demands are. That's very modern. Sharia is not modern.
Is there evidence that the practice of Sharia law is becoming more radical globally?
You know, it's becoming radical in the sense of the meaning of the word radical as in going back to the sources. So what people are often doing is going back to the example of the Prophet Muhammad and what the Quran teaches and reinterpreting that. So some reinterpret it to mean that you can indulge in terrorism, but then others reinterpret it to mean only defensive war is permitted. So it's radical in that sense of totally reevaluating what it means.
It's 18 to 7 on Breakfast. Our guest is Dr. Christopher van der Kroet, a lecturer in religious studies at Massey University in Wellington and New Zealand. And as I say, not simply an expert in Islamic law, also religious laws of other faiths. Do other faiths have laws that express themselves in this way, Judaism, Christianity, where you could make a parallel between people of a faith operating within that law alongside the secular war of the country and the society in which they live?
In the sense that that religious law is a moral code, yes, absolutely. Judaism and Christianity have been Judaism and Islam have been much more preoccupied with law than Christianity has. Christianity, quite early on, if you're familiar with the writings of St. Paul, reacted against law. So Judaism and Islam are very much religions of law. Christianity less so, although it does, you know, the different churches do have their own codes of law.
So to bring it back home. You know, a lot of people think, oh, they're living under Sharia law, that's not right, they should live under our law here in Australia.
They do.
Yeah, but can you explain that for people who get confused by the term law being used in both cases, how they coexist?
Okay, so if we think of Sharia is primarily a way of life. I mean, it was originally developed as a way of managing a whole society, but what... In more recent times, Muslims living in the West have faced a situation that's really unprecedented, I guess. Large numbers of Muslims, millions of Muslims living in Western countries, and they would feel obliged to obey the local laws, the laws of the country. It's part of the condition of their living in those countries. And it would be, I mean, it's quite rare to find any conflict between those laws. I mean, one case that we had in New Zealand, for example, was about the wearing of the burqa. We had a case a few years ago in a law court where a couple of Afghani women didn't want to show their faces in court. Mm. So there are things like that can be tricky, but it's very hard to imagine what moderate, sensible, responsible Muslims would want to do in the name of their religion that would be... opposed to the law of the land.
Well, let me just ask you about the burqa. And as I mentioned, Senator Lambie had said that adherence to Sharia law should pack their bags and get out of there. In other words, Sharia law she sees as a direct threat to Western nations. There's a bit of a debate sparked on the burqa. Is the wearing of the burqa an absolute integral part of Sharia law?
It's one of the areas that Muslims debate. So Sharia law is not a whole list of particular instructions. It's a law developed by scholars, and so it's in the nature of Sharia law that people debate what is required and what is not and under what circumstances. So Muslims disagree about whether women need to cover their faces, for example.
All right, Christopher, thank you so much for joining us and having a go at that. I really appreciate your efforts. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Dr. Okay. Christopher van der Kroet is a lecturer in religious studies at Massey University in Wellington in New Zealand. It's a hot debate at the moment, and there's more contributions to it on the burqa yesterday, which we might hear a bit more about later in the program. It's 6:45 on Breakfast.